This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So earlier this week, I was talking with Kirsten. If you haven't met her yet, she is our communications director. She is the one that is responsible for putting together the bulletin you hold in your hands today. And we were going through the service for today, this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter. And we laughed. Actually, she laughed and pointed out, she says, I can only imagine the frustration that Jesus must have been feeling. Jesus is talking to this gathering in a metaphor that the people of his place and time would have understood, or at least Jesus thought they would understand. I can imagine him, he's telling this great, I am the gate, the sheep, the sheep will enter the gate and only through the gate, and he has his arms out and he's thinking, man, that was good. Like when a preacher gives a good sermon and they're like, yeah, nobody gets it. And he opens his eyes and he looks around and they're looking at each other like, I don't know, shrugging their shoulders and shaking their heads. And we actually get the taste of it right here where Jesus is like, okay, let me try this again. I am the gate for the sheep. You are the sheep. And I can almost hear the audible, oh, that must have come from the crowd. But this story about Jesus being frustrated with those who he was trying to teach about the importance of following him and trying to use a metaphor that hopefully they would understand, it made me think of my chickens. That's right, my house, don't tell the Gulf Breeze City people, we have three chickens in my backyard. And one of those chickens is quite a few years younger than the other two. And so there's always a little tiff about, you know, who's in charge. But in her youth, she likes to fly over the fence that encloses the chicken yard from our backyard. Well, from the dog's yard. So every now and then, and lately almost daily, you'll look out the back door and you'll see the chicken walking by in the yard. And sometimes she'll come up to the backyard, and that's when you know she can't figure out how to get back in. She hasn't figured out how to fly back over to the fence when she needs to get in there, because that's where her food and her water and her egg-laying spot is. So I would go out in the backyard and try to encourage her, you know, follow my voice. Try to encourage her to the gate. And open the gate, I feel like I have to do, you know, open the gate and the other two chickens want to come out because they've missed out on something. They want to come out and she wants to go in and then it's like, what is going on? I don't know what to do. And she runs away. And then in my haste to go catch her, the other two run out and next thing you know, all the chickens are out. No one is happy and everyone is lost and confused. I imagine this might be a little bit of how Jesus felt, but also in the metaphor that he was using. How to keep his followers from being lost and confused. We need to know where to go. And Jesus knows this. And Jesus says that we can trust Jesus as the shepherd to show us the right way to go. And yet there are so many things that confuse us and take away our attention. Jesus tells us that many others have come and many will continue to come to lead us astray. And they'll be convincing, Jesus says. They will believe their own stories and their own truth, and they'll get you to believe it too. But don't listen to them, Jesus says. I am the gate. It is through me you will find life abundantly. These others who will come to try and steal your devotion and to take you away from the gate of the Good Shepherd. The life that they lead you to will only kill and destroy. But life through me, says Jesus, will be life abundantly. And Jesus promises us that his sheep will know his voice. So as I was sitting with this idea of Jesus says we will know. I know my sheep and they know me. So with so much noise in our lives, so many different voices telling us what to do, what to believe, how do we know what is the voice of Jesus? The voice of God. How do we hear the voice of God amidst all the noise? And how do we know when it is God's voice that we hear? It's a daily struggle to know what is right. It's a daily struggle to distinguish the voice of God from the voices that are all around us. But I do believe that we can tell a difference. And I believe that the ability to hear the voice of God, to distinguish it from others, takes practice and work. And I'm not sure that any of us ever actually get it right all the time. We are always students, always learning, and always working at it. But there's a word for distinguishing God's voice, for pulling out what God is saying from the noise of the world. And this word is discernment. I looked it up, and the definition you'll find on Google is a perception in the absence of judgment with a view to obtaining spiritual guidance and understanding. Oh. Now I feel like the disciples, I don't know, did you get it? In other words, sitting with something for a time, praying about it, not judging whatever it is either way, giving it space to breathe. While I believe we were all students and that we always will be, I have begun to notice a few patterns. Patterns which help me discern whether I'm hearing the voice of God or whether the message is coming from somewhere else. Now, when I talk about the voice of God, I personally have never heard the loud, booming voice we imagine from the top of Mount Sinai talking to Moses. Maybe you have. But I do believe that sometimes the voice of God, and probably more often than not, is that sound like stillness or peace that comes over us when we've made a choice. Sometimes I do believe that God speaks to us through other people, through our relationships, through those who know us well, or those who are just beginning to get to know us. In fact, in my ministry here at St. John's, I've often told people that if something comes my way three times, then I feel like I need to pay attention. But a few things that I've learned, and no, I don't always get it right, but I do believe there are a few clues to help us discern what is God and what is not. If the voice we hear encourages us to lean into trusting Jesus with hands open, with a trust that whatever it is in our life, God can handle it, then it's more likely to be the voice of God. But if the voice we hear leads to cynicism, or bitterness or judgment or clenched fists, then it's probably an imposter. If the voice we hear calls us to be generous, self-transcending, then it is very likely to be from God. But if the voice calls us to selfishness, to self-centeredness, to self-preservation, then it is likely not the voice of God. If the voice we hear calls us to be faithful, to be true to our word, to keep our promises, likely from God. But if the voice invites us to break our promises, or to just tell a little lie, or maybe a small cheat, or to take shortcuts to get what it is we think we need or want, not likely the voice of God. If we hear an invitation in our life to spend more of our life focused on other people, if we're invited to measure our success by the difference we can make in someone else's life, it might be from God. But if the voice encourages us to ignore the pleas and heartaches from those who are different, whose life experiences are different than us, it is not likely the voice of God. But if the voice we hear calls us to be a peacemaker, a justice doer, a hope giver, that sounds a lot like God. If you hear an encouragement to treasure life, to set aside anger, to forgive, and then forgive some more, that sounds a lot like God. If the voice you hear tells you that you are deeply loved, if the voice you hear tells you that you have dignity that no one else can take away from you, then that voice is likely of God. But if the voice you hear tells you that you're not worth it, that there's no hope for you, that, my friends, is not the voice of the God we know through Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. Now, I'm sure that there are many more examples we could all come up with together. With a world full of so many different voices, how then again do we distinguish the voice of God and Jesus Christ from all others? Those are just a few examples. And I invite you throughout this week to think about others. I don't know about you, when I haven't followed the voice of God, it usually gets pointed out to me. But I also believe it takes time. It takes practice. But it also takes community. In the story of Acts today, we hear about the first church, the first Christian communities, and how they leaned on each other so much to follow this way because, friends, we can't do this alone. Again, I believe many times God speaks through the voice of others. And so as I was sharing this story earlier with Kirsten about my chickens not getting it, I told her I was going to go home and take a video just to show, and then I was going to post it and say, come hear the sermon. So I did. I got home, and on the back step was the chicken looking forlornly into the back of the house. I took out my phone. Of course, you know, pets never do what you want them to do when you're trying to video. I said, you need help? We walked over to the gate. I opened the gate. The other two chickens stepped back. She walked in. I closed the gate. I sent the video to Kirsten. She laughed and said, that's what you get for calling the chicken stupid. My friends, let us pray and create space to continue to hear and lean into the voice of God. Amen.